me there. 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9. I have lots of other scripture that I'm going to read before I get there, but obviously we will. You'll be waiting on me there at 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9. And a couple of announcements real quick. I got a thank you note from the Gazaways, and it's pretty cool. They actually have personalized thank you notes. It's not just a generic one because it says, "Dear Pastor Stanley and Lighthouse Baptist Church." There's not another one of those anywhere, right? There's just one, Pastor Stanley and Lighthouse Baptist Church. But it says, "It was our honor and privilege to be a part of your services. We were humbled by your love and encouragement and support we received from all of you in the labor for the Lord here in India. We wanted to share our sincere thanks for the fine hotel accommodations, excellent food, fellowship, and generous offering we received from you all. We pray that the fruits abound to your account for our labors, and may the Lord continue to work mightily through us and y'all, and in His name, for He is worthy." The Gazaway. So that's there, and so I'll put that back there. I believe the last time there's one back there from the Christmas offering, I believe. So I'll put that on top of that. And then another thing on the table right straight out the door, there's a little basket there. And we're putting, extra Sunday school lessons in there. Of course, we always try to make enough for everybody for Sunday school. And so whatever we have left, we'll just put that over in there. And then some of you like to carry them home and do some more study, and that's fine. We would encourage that. And even if you highlight and things like that, and if you want to keep it, keep it. But if you're through with it after that, that basket will be there. And you can put it in there even after you've marked on it, things like that. And we're going to send that to overseas for people that can reuse that as well. So that's why that basket's out there. So those are the two announcements that I tried to remember and wanted to do those before I forgot. So, you are in 1 Corinthians 9, I believe. And this sermon, I think it's going to turn into a series of sermons on Sunday morning. So I'm going to go ahead and preface. No, don't get scared. But I'm going to preface it. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12:13, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter." So one of the jobs of a pastor, of course, there's things that I have to have done in my life or not done in my life to qualify me to be a pastor. I get that. But then there's the job of praying for the congregation. There's the job of teaching the Word of God to the congregation, preaching the congregation. So it's my job to do the whole thing. According to the Bible here in Ecclesiastes, it's your job to hear it all. Okay, hear all of it. And so I know that's hard to do, especially when you have a redneck Georgian pastor that has an accent and does not have a real good grasp of the English language. I might throw in some redneck words in there. And, hey, y'all, watch this. I don't know if "is" is a word. Watch this, I think, is how it's supposed to be. But anyway, so it's my job to preach the whole counsel of the Word of God from cover to cover. It's your job to listen to it and get it. And it says here, listen to the whole matter, fear God. So I'm supposed to fear God when I'm preaching it. You're supposed to fear God when you're hearing it. And keep His commandments. Do what the Bible says. But again, it says here, for this is the whole duty of man. This is talking about mankind. It doesn't exclude you ladies. So it's our job to know that book right there from cover to cover. And so it's my job to preach it, to teach it. Then it's our job collectively to listen to it. Why? It's our job. And the Bible says in John 21:16, "Feed my sheep." That was what Peter was told. "Do you love me, Peter?" "Yeah, I love you, Jesus." "Well, then feed my sheep." And so that's one of my jobs. But the Bible, from cover to cover, we have that. Now, I will use this illustration. I've talked about my grandsons this morning a little bit. I remember when my sons had that same rule. "You're going to clean your plate before you leave." "But Dad, I don't like broccoli." When you become a dad and you have your own house and you don't want broccoli under the roof, that's your prerogative. But we need it. We need all of it. And I use this as an illustration in Sunday school this morning for the fellas that, I like ice cream. But if I just ate ice cream for breakfast, lunch, snack, dinner, after dinner snack, just ice cream, ice cream, ice cream, it would be good. But I would probably have some issues down the line. Like when you get called in to the doctor, your sugar is just whacked, dude. You're going to have to start taking this. You're going to say, "Wow, but I like ice cream, doc." But we need all of it. We need some ice cream, amen. We need some vegetables. We need some protein and things like that. I'm not going to teach a science class this morning, but our body needs it all. So that's why, as the pastor, we have Sunday school and we teach. And so some people, they love teaching. Give me teaching. It's like ice cream to them. But if that's all they ever had, they would be out of whack. Your body needs some preaching too. The Bible says, for the foolishness of preaching confounds the wise, and it strengthens us, and things like that. So we need it all. So we need some teaching. We need some exhortation. We need some preaching. We need some instruction, things like that, to get it all. So some people, let's say they might just come, you know, Wednesday nights, all the only time they come. And again, if they're working, I get it. But Wednesday night, they like the Bible study part. You know, they don't like their toes stepped on. They don't want to go point by point by point. We do that on Wednesday night. We will teach you stuff. We've been talking about priorities. We've been talking about how to make a decision if there's not a thou shalt not. We've been teaching things. Some people like that. So they come on Wednesday nights. So I said all that to say this. This sermon is a Sunday morning sermon. Usually your Sunday morning sermons slant or lean towards salvation sermons. So that's a good thing. Why? Because if you have a visitor that comes, most of the time they're going to come on Sunday morning. If they're not saved, they need to hear some salvation. It gives us all strength if we're saved. But then there are certain social issues that come up in our world today. And that's where we're going to be at a little bit today. That's my job to teach a biblical view on those things that we hear. Why? Because it's Satan's job, the world's job, the media's job, the commercial's job, the wackadoo that lives next door you's job, to infiltrate our brains with social stuff that is not in that book. All right? And to try to whack us. And so, again, what we're going to teach this morning is a biblical viewpoint. I'm going to preface it with that, because you're going to know this statement when I say it. All right? And it's been infiltrated in our world right now, to the point that it's morphed into a lot of other ways, too. But this is said from the media. This is said in the newspapers. This is said from the news. This is said from your neighbor. This is said from the HR at work. You ready for it? A biblical view on my body, my choice. Everybody in here has heard it. Everybody. And hopefully it hadn't got in your brain the twisted way that they're meaning it. So we're going to look at a biblical viewpoint this morning of my body, my choice. Why? Because there's some little ones in here. I want them to hear this viewpoint. And you parents that don't have them in a classroom where they'll hear the wrong view on that, kudos. And you also teach them the Word of God yourself. Kudos. And you put them in Sunday school where they'll hear the biblical viewpoint. Kudos. Why? Because we know Satan's going to make sure that they hear it everywhere else. From the neighborhood, from the playground. They're going to hear stuff like this. And again, this may turn into a series because we have stuff like mental wellness. Okay? My body, my choice. If you look at it biblically, it's okay. Some of us, I'm not mentally well. I've just lost it, okay? We hear words like pause. I thought that was on the remote control. All right, but there's a viewpoint out there on pause. Take care of you. Living your best life. I mean, they just throw these things out there. And what it is, it's just like Satan when he was talking to Eve. There's enough truth in there to whack you out. That's what Satan said to Eve. Oh, God didn't really say that. Yes, he did. what he meant was, if you eat up, you'd become like gods. And so he twisted a little bit. And so that's what, again, I'm sorry, but that's my job as a pastor is to teach the whole counsel of the Word of God. And there's a biblical view on my body, my choice, and we're going to look at that this morning. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. And Lord, I just ask you to help us. Or to be open-minded as far as the Bible's concerned, not as far as the social issue is concerned. In Jesus' name, amen. And so again, I'm closed off to the social aspect of it. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done decently and in order. When they came out with that phrase, it wasn't for a decent issue. Again, I'm going to be very careful because there are children in here. But where they came up with that was, it was saying, basically they were saying, my body, my choice. In other words, and saying, it's okay for me to be a murderer. That's where it started. It's my body, my choice, so it's okay for me to be a murderer.
And the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. So we see here, boom, right off the bat with that phrase where it came from. In the Bible, it is totally opposite. You know, the Bible says it is your body and you do have a choice. Okay, what they should have chosen was not to get in that place. Stay celibate. Okay, that's your choice. Be pure when you stand up here and say, I do. That's your choice. So we see here, that's what the devil in this society will do. They'll twist a little bit of things where they'll say, my body, my choice. So we ought to be decent. We ought to be appropriate. We ought to be biblical. We ought to be godly when we're making choices. So we ought to, in order to do things, and what the Bible says, let all things be done decently in order. So God says, we taught this on Wednesday night about priorities, Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. So before you make a statement like what we're preaching on this morning, because I don't want to say it over and over and over, but you know where I'm at, because first, I want to put God first. So again, that will get me to the place where I don't need to say, my body, my choice, and be a murderer. Because now it's morphed into, I have a choice on what I be, what I am. I can change what I am, because it's my body, my choice. And so it just keeps morphing into more wickedness. First, you present it to body, your body a living sacrifice. So Genesis 2:7. Just going to read these verses, let it land where it may. Because the Bible, we're looking at a biblical viewpoint of my body, my choice. Genesis 2:7 says this, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. This was talking about when he made Adam. And then we know, of course, he said, well, I can do better. Isn't that what he said, ladies? You know, I made Adam here, but I can one up this. And so he put us to sleep, which is not a problem. All right, you turn golf on, a Western, ball game, whatever, and we're out, and the grandkids go to turn it. Hey, I was watching that. Grandpa, you've been snoring for an hour. You're not watching that. And so we see that God made man, then he put us to sleep, took one of our ribs, and made woman. But God did that. Okay, it says right there in Genesis 2:7. Genesis 1:27 says this, and God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Okay? Again, they'll take pieces of that and use that word them and mess it up. But we're looking at a biblical viewpoint. Genesis 5:2, male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day which they were created. All Old Testament verses there. Here's your new verse. Matthew 19:4. And he answered and said unto them, and here's the key, have ye not read? And I believe that's the problem. Because I don't hate people that say, my body, my choice. I don't hate them. I'm not mad. I'm not going to attack them. I'm sad that they haven't read and that they're messed up here by somebody saying a phrase. I'm not mad at any other religions this morning. I'm in a Baptist church. And that's where I'm going to stay, at a Baptist church. I disagree with a lot of other religions out there, but I don't hate them. I just want to ask them, have you not read that didn't save you? Jesus did. His mom didn't save you? Jesus did. Have you not read? I don't want to have what they call hate speech. I line up with the Republicans, and that's the way I vote. But I don't hate Democrats. I'm not going to attack them, slap them, spit on them. I might ask them, have you not read? All right? Again, that's the key. So again, I'm not preaching here this morning, let's go out and beat up all Democrats and beat up all Catholics and beat up all any other religion. No, we might ask them, have you not read? And do it with a tear in your eye and love in your heart. But that's what he says here. And he answered and said unto them, have you not read? That he which made them at the beginning made them male and female. We're looking at a biblical viewpoint of my body, my choice. Mark 10:6. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. And here's another one. Psalm 139:14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God didn't oops when he made you. God didn't make you to be confused. The Bible says the author of confusion is Satan. So anybody that's confused out there, they haven't read or they've been confused by Satan. So it says, I will praise them him, I'm sorry, praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. And that thy soul may knoweth right well. God created you just like, that's why the Bible tells you I'm paraphrasing here, to don't even take thought that you can add one cubit to your stature. You know, all tall people want, man, I wish I was shorter. I bump my head all the time. All short people are walking on their tiptoes. Man, I wish I was tall like brother so-and-so. And wow, the devil's messing with the brain. God made you exactly like he wanted to. Some of you maybe even hung up by the toenails so you could stretch yourself. Why? Because you wanted to be able to dunk a basketball, or you wanted to be able to, you know, be tall. Again, now we can help the wideness part some with our you know, it's my body, my choice. I'm gonna pound it. No, it says here, you know, bodily exercise profit a little, and you know, we ought not be a glutton and all that kind of stuff. We can control some of that stuff, but we're fearfully and wonderfully made. God made us that way. So my body, my choice. God made it, so He ought to have the say. Another verse I'm going to read to you. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. This is why that phrase that they say out there, they've taken it and twisted it a little bit, grabbed enough truth and added in what they wanted to make it sound good. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, what? Know ye not? So another question. Have you not read? So anybody that's got a messed up sense of my body, my choice, it's not biblical, they haven't read. And then right here, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? So even the statement, my body, my choice, is wrong, according to the Bible. Because the Bible says right here that this body is not mine. It's the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so we are not our own. Why? Because God, it says here, for God, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So the Creator obviously owns it. He ought to have a say in what it does and what it looks like and how it behaves. But not only did He create it, He bought it back when we got saved. So my body, my choice is not right. It's God's body, His choice. And we could go through the Bible, and we won't take time, but the Bible says He created it, He bought it, and He also chose it. Ephesians 1:4, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. So before the foundations of the world, God owned this. He knew He was going to have to buy this back, and He chose this to live a certain way. So it's His choice, not mine. We're looking at a biblical view. So my choice. God created us. He bought us. He chose us. But He did not create, I mean, He did create us with a free will. This is where we can get it all whacked up. It's my choice. I can believe the social viewpoint and just be whacked out. Totally against this right here. But I also have a choice to believe exactly what this says, do exactly what this says, and I'll be right with God. That's my choice. He made us with a free will. So in other words, everybody in this room, we had our own choice whether to be saved or not. We didn't have to be saved. God gives you that free will, that free choice. The Bible says you must be born again, like we learned in Sunday school this morning. We have to do that to get to heaven, but it's your choice. God's not going to make you. Then not only does He give us a choice whether we get saved or not, and we have to look at the consequence. If we get saved, we get to go to heaven. If we don't, we have to go to hell. There is a consequence. Same thing here. We can choose whether to be an abomination in this body or not. It's your choice. And those that are living with their body, taking against what God chose, what God created, and what God bought, and doing wrong with it, there's consequences. The Bible says that there's death. There's being turned over to the reprobate mind for the destruction of the flesh. There's consequences if you make that choice. So we can also choose to do what God says and go to heaven because we're saved, and we can live and be blessed here on this earth. And that's what Joshua 24:15 says. And Joshua's basically given a speech kind of like I'm giving this morning. He's like, okay, guys, this is what's been taught before the flood. This is what's being taught right now. But this is what the Bible says. It's your choice. Hey, make it. And Joshua 24:15 says, and if it seem evil for you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. The gods of your father, which were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites that's right now here in this world, the cool crowd, the rock crowd, the partying crowd, this is what they do, this is how they live it up. You can choose to do that. That's what he was saying. Who's in this land? But as for me, that's what Joshua was saying. I'm not going to serve the gods that they were serving before the flood. I'm not serving the world today. I'm not serving these gods that are here. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So it was his choice. He chose to do right with his body. So God created it. He bought it. He chose it. But he gave us the free will to do with it what we're supposed to do. Now, we're in 1 Corinthians 9. Sorry it took me so long to get there, and I'll start speeding it up a little bit. But we see, we're going to look at three or four reasons what we're supposed to choose according to the Bible. My body, my choice. I can choose. So 1 Corinthians 9:27, here's your first choice that we're going to look at today. I choose to bring it into subjection. So God created your body. He bought your body. He chose your body. But he gave you a free choice to do with it what you want. Joshua was an example of the one that chose right. And here's some commands. In 1 Corinthians 9:27, it says this. 1 Corinthians 9:27. I'm in 2 Corinthians. Let me go here. 1 Corinthians. There we go. 1 Corinthians 9:27. It says, you've been there for a long time. To the weak. I'm sorry, that's verse 22. 7. But I keep under my body. So Paul was telling the church at Corinth, and they were a little bit carnal Christians. They were new Christians. They were a little bit worldly Christians. And he would say, hey, church at Corinth, this is what I chose to do. I'm kind of like Joshua. I chose, verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. So I'm going to make biblical choices. I'm going to make godly choices. I'm going to make the right kind of choices. And I'm going to make this body do it. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I know I'm going to stand before God one day and give an account for what I've done in this body, is what Paul was saying. So I'm choosing to bring it into subjection. And all of you did that this morning. When your alarm clock went off this morning. I know when mine went off, I was like, alright. But what did I do? I brought this body into subjection. I didn't have this suit on. I don't sleep in it. Alright. But I grabbed myself and subjectively got myself out of the bed, took it in there and bathed it, brushed my teeth. I made this body. Well, I don't want to brush my teeth. You're going to brush your teeth. Okay? Well, I don't want to wear hairspray. You're going to hairspray the one hair you have. All right. I don't want that. Saying, you make this body do with it what you want. That's what Paul was saying. Bring it into set. I didn't come to church today. I'm just too tired. Make your body come. Make it. It's what he's saying. And so it says, bring it under subjection. Place it under the authority. In other words, you are in control. But we also can give it to God. Present our body a living sacrifice. We're going to see that next. So put your body under the control of God, under the control of that Bible, under the control of the Holy Spirit. Paul chose to put this body under the control of that. So let's look at verse 12. And the reason he was teaching them this, he said, your body will get you into trouble. You'll sleep in. Try it tomorrow. Sleep in and don't show up for work. Try it Tuesday. Sleep in and don't show up for work. By Wednesday, you might not have work. Why? Because you couldn't bring that body into subjection. Now, if you're expelling stuff from your mouth, your boss would probably say, stay home. Keep your body at home. We don't want your body around here. All right. Same way with church, that kind of stuff. But you're in charge of it. Bring it into subjection. And so he says here in verse 12, here's some proofs and some teachings about it. In verse 12, it says, if others be partakers of this power over you. There's people out there that are going to try to say, hey, bring your body to the party. Hey, taste this. It'll make your body feel whacked out. Drink this. It'll make your body feel groovy, dude. All right, that's what they're telling you. And if you put it under any of these powers, are ye not rather... Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. You see some dude plastered. Aren't you a Christian? Well, yeah, my parents want me to be, but... Oh, I don't know if I want that kind of Christianity. It hinders the gospel. They hear you at work, Christian so-and-so. That boss, blankety-blank, blank, blankety... I thought you were a Christian. Well, I'm mad and I'm just letting my body blow off some steam. It hinders the cause of Christ. That's why Paul said, look, guys, you've got to bring this body into subjection, because if you just act like your body wants to, your flesh wants to sometimes, it's going to hinder the gospel. We're Christians. It's going to hinder. Verse 14, look what it says. Even so hath the Lord ordained that ye which preach the gospel should live the gospel. And he said, oh, yeah, that's for the preachers. That's you. That's you. You got to do that. No. When you preach the gospel, that just means basically witnessing. He's talking to the church at Corinth here. He's not talking to the pastor across the town. He was like, you Christians, you got to bring your body into subjection, because if you don't, it's going to hinder the gospel. And then when you're preaching it, it's going to back up what you're saying. So if you've lived, if you've brought your body into subjection and you're living and not chewing the boss out and not sleeping in and skipping work and not participating in the drugs, the alcohol, whatever, why are you different? Well, it'll give you a chance to preach the gospel. And that's what he's saying. You've got to bring your body into subjection. Why? Because we don't want the gospel hindered. We want the gospel lived. I heard a sermon called Walking Living Sermons. There's a lot of people, their lifestyle, again, I'm for door knocking, I'm for passing out tracts, but that lifestyle helps. I saw this guy at work for years. He always prayed when he ate his lunch. He never cursed. He always did what he was supposed to do, things like that. That impressed me. What this person's saying, not me. But anyway, we see here your body, if it's doing right, it will preach the gospel. Verse 16, for though I preach the gospel, hand out tracts, invite people to church, witness, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. So this body is supposed to be in subjection and witnessing. So we see, if we don't bring this body into subjection, we're hindering the gospel. We're not living the gospel. We're not preaching the gospel. Verses 18 and 19. For is my reward then, or what is my reward then? Verily that when I preach the gospel, give out tracts, witness, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. So we see if we're not bringing this body into subjection, we're abusing the gospel. And verse 19 says, for though I be free from all men. That's what Paul was saying. I'm free to do whatever I want to. He just said all things are willful or lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. For though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. So Paul is like, look, I'm going to put this body in subjection. Why? Because I want to live the gospel. I want a chance to preach the gospel. I want a chance to be a witness for the gospel. I want to do all that. I don't want to abuse that. And if we look at verse 20, it basically says, and I'll paraphrase here, to the Jew, I became the Jew. In other words, he knew how, when he talked to the Jew, what stuff to use. And he didn't actually go become a Jew and all that kind of stuff, but he's like, I'm talking to them because I know what they believe. I know what they think. And so I become a Jew. And the Bible talks about reasoning with one another. So he said, when I'm witnessing to a Jew, I talk on things of a Jew. So in other words, if I've knocked on the door and I see the garage door open, and this is easy for me, if I see a college football flag hanging in the garage, and that's coming this Saturday, and I can talk SEC football with this dude. All right? That's what he's talking about. But if I have, even though I'm talking Jewish with Jewish people, if I've abused the gospel, if I've forsook the gospel, if I've hindered the gospel, it's not going to help me win that Jewish person to the Lord. Look at what it says in verse 21. It says here, those that are without the law, I become like those that are without the law. I talk with them on that level. Verse 22, those that are weak, I become weak. Verse 22, to all men I become all things. So in other words, when I'm witnessing to somebody, I want to be able to talk on their level. Now, a lot of people have taken these verses out of context and they were like, okay, if we want to reach the rock crowd, we've got to bring the rock crowd into church so they feel comfortable at the church. That's not what that's talking about. In other words, I'm not going to go become a drunk to reach a drunk person. I'm not going to go become a drug addict just so I can reach some drug addicts. That's not what it's saying. Hey, I can talk to them with the gospel in this body on their level. So don't use this verse out of context. Acts 17:2 says this, and Paul, as his manner was,
went unto them on and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. That's what he's talking about. So we see the first thing we do, we choose to bring this body into subjection. Number two, we choose to present this body a living sacrifice. I've already said it a couple times. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Not acceptable unto your friends, but acceptable unto God. Not acceptable to the social media crowd, but unto God. Which is your reasonable service. God's not being unreasonable. It says here, and be not conformed to this world. So whatever the world says to do, we're supposed to probably be different than that. All right? The world says to, you know, cut this off, pierce this, tat this. I mean, they tell us all kinds of stuff. Let me read you a verse in Leviticus 19:28. And ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. So again, this world says, tat it, pierce it, cut it, spike it, color it, do this and you'll be cool. Right? But the Bible says right here, don't. So my body, my choice. I can get one if I want to, or I can do this if I want to. Well, if you want to be like the Bible, it says right here in the Bible, don't. Exodus 20, verse 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. It just plainly says it right there. We're supposed to keep this body holy. We're supposed to keep this body acceptable unto God. And if we do so, that's our reasonable service. So number one was, choose to bring your body into subjection. Number two is, choose to present your body a living sacrifice. Number three, choose to have your body a part of the manner of some. Let's go to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10 real quick. Hebrews 10. I think I got that one marked. There it is, Hebrews 10. So we're choosing to present our body a living sacrifice. We're choosing to bring our body under subjection. Thirdly, it says here, choose to have your body a part of the manner of some. Now, I know we don't talk like that much, but this is right here in this verse. Verse 25 tells us, and we, of course, it's a very famous verse about going to church. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but as the manner of some is, there it is right there. But exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So we're supposed to be a part of that manner. So we're choosing to have our body. And everybody did that this morning. When I look out there and I see, and I can start with Brother Steve on the back, and I could go all the way over here to Brother Sean and call each person's name. That encourages me that you're here. Why? Because you brought your body into subjection. You've presented your body a living sacrifice today. And you are being a part of the manner of some. Obviously, if a pastor got up here and he looked out and there was not one soul, I hope my wife would still be here. There would be one person I could preach to today. She needs it. I get it. She's not in here, so I can say that. But she needs it. But it's more encouraging to me to see everybody here. And I'm excited about that. That's what this verse is saying. Don't forsake bring your body into subjection. Go present it a living sacrifice here at church. Why? Because when you're here, we're a part of this sum. And we have our body where it's supposed to be. And that is encouraging. Let's look at a couple verses. Look at verse 22 in this same chapter. It says here, let us draw near with a true heart. Okay, so when we take this body and we bring it to the group, we bring it to church, we bring it to the fellowship, we're drawing near, and then it says here, with a true heart. Again, if somebody was here today, oh, I'm just here because my wife twisted my arm, or oh, I'm just here because that pastor, he's going to text me if I'm not there. Again, that's probably not the reason to be here, but it's better than not being here. But it's saying here, if you're going to be here, just be here with a true heart in full assurance of faith. That's right. What he's saying is the truth. Hey, I know it goes against my grain a little bit of my flesh, and I know society is all about that saying, and you know he's ridiculing it. He's saying it according to the Bible, it's not right. But a full assurance, that's right, of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from that evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. So be right with God when you're up in the manner of that sum. Draw near with a true heart. Verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. So not only be here with a true heart and a clean heart, but be here holding fast the profession of our faith. Again, knowing that we're on our way to heaven, knowing that Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. We got that in our faith. And in knowing if we'll live for Him, He'll bless us down here on earth. Verse 24. And let us consider one another. So again, I'm here considering you. Hopefully you're here considering me and considering anybody that's on that pew with you. We're considering one another. We're Lighthouse Baptist Church. This is the membership. Let us consider one another to provoke one another to love. All right, so next Saturday, if somebody on this side's football team gets beat by somebody on this side's football team, don't provoke each other to a fight right here in the middle of the aisle. All right? Let's go over. That's not what it's talking about. It says provoke unto love and to good works. Yesterday, people went out from this church knocking on doors. It was encouraging, provoking love. When we have a revival, hopefully it will all be here, provoking one another. We want revive. We want what God wants. We want God to use us in our life, and we want God to bless this church. We're here. That's provoking one another to good loves. Why? Then it goes on to say, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. So draw near with a true heart. Hold fast the profession of your faith. Not going to let it go. Consider and provoke one another to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. And the last one. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. That's where I was a while ago. 2 Corinthians 4. So, we see that we're supposed to choose to bring our body into subjection. We're supposed to choose to present our body a living sacrifice. We're supposed to choose to have our body a part of the manner of some. And the last one, right here, praise the Lord for Lighthouse Baptist Church, choose to have your body to shine. Have your body to shine. Lighthouse Baptist Church, we're supposed to be a light set on a hill that people can see. So verse 3 of chapter 4, it says here, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. So this goes against shining. It's hiding it. And our gospel can be hid by worldliness. Our gospel can be hid by unfaithfulness. Our light can be hid by all kinds of things. But it says right here, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. So in other words, if you go to work tomorrow and you say nothing about church and you say nothing about Jesus and you say nothing about salvation, you've gotten it hid because you know about Jesus and you know about salvation and you know about church. But if you don't say it, obviously it's hid to them that are lost. That's what this is saying. Choose to have your body shining. If it's hid, it's hid to those that are lost in verse 3. Verse 4, it says, if it's hid, it is not going to help those ones that Satan has blinded. Look what verse 4 says. If our gospel be hid, if we're not choosing to shine, it's going to be hid. But then it's also in whom the god of this world, we know that's Satan, hath blinded their minds. They haven't read. They haven't considered. They have not heard. And so they're blinded by Satan, which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. So that's God's desire for us to take this body and let it shine to those that Satan has blinded them. Again, one of the people I led to Christ lately was trusting that to get her to heaven. And she told me, she says, that's what I was taught. I was taught if I get baptized, I'll go to heaven. But according to what you've been saying and according to what the Bible says, I have to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior to get to heaven. Not that. So Satan had her blinded in her thought process, but obviously God unblinded her. And she put her trust in Jesus Thursday, right here in my office. And so praise the Lord for that. So we see here, that's what we're supposed to do. Bring this body and say, this body's going to shine. Because there's some people out there that have been blinded. Again, don't ridicule them. Don't slap them in the face. Don't say all Catholics are going to hell. Don't say all, don't do that. Shine. It didn't say fight and fuss and ridicule and hate. No, it says shine. That's how God wants to do it. He wants to say, hey, let this body shine. Then we see in verse 6, for the God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. We're in this world, not of it, but we're supposed to be here shining. Has shined in our hearts. Since Jesus came into my heart, like Brother Derek led us this morning, He shined into our hearts and give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So this is what we're supposed to shine. It's basically, if we're letting our body shine, we're being obedient to God's command. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Now that if you're saved, you got the Holy Spirit, that treasure living inside of your body. that the excellency of power may of God and not of us.
So again, a lot of people, they try to shine in their own goodness. Look at me. Look how good a Christian I am. Look at me. I don't. Look at me. I do. Look. No. That's not what we're supposed to shine.
That hidden treasure that we have in there, we ought to behave, obey the Holy Spirit, and God will do the shining. He will shine through us.
And last one, verse 10. It says right here, verse 10, always bearing about in the body.
We're looking at a body, a biblical body viewpoint of my body, my choice. The dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of the Lord might be manifested in our bodies.
Okay, inside of us, we know that we've accepted Jesus Christ, the one that died and was buried and rose again. But also inside of us is somebody, the Holy Spirit, that wants to shine and let that be made manifest in our body. So we're supposed to let our body shine. So we saw four things this morning. My body, my choice. I'm going to choose to bring it into subjection. I'm going to choose to present it as a living sacrifice. I'm going to choose to let it be a part of the manner of some. I'm going to choose to let my body shine. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, but glorify the Father which is in heaven. Philippians 2:15. That ye may be blameless. So if you don't bring your body into subjection, there may be some blame there. Well, you, and you always, or you said, but we bring it into subjection so it can be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of this crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in this world. So that verse right there put the whole topic this morning in a nutshell. We're in this world. It's crooked, perverse, and it has statements like, my body, my choice, which means totally different than what this book says. But the book says it's not my body. It's been bought. It's been purchased. I'm supposed to let it shine in this world. And so it says here, don't complain about the world. Don't fuss about the world. Don't gripe about the world. We're just supposed to shine. The darker the night, the brighter the light. And we can all sing that song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. So that's how you go through life. If you look at the ones that say, my body, my choice, they haven't read and they don't know, it can get you discouraged. It can say, what has this world come to? We're not supposed to worry about that. We're supposed to say, hey, this body's been brought into subjection. This body's been presented to the Lord. This body is going to be a part of the manner of some. We're going to do right. We're going to shine. And we're going to see people saved. That's what we're supposed to do. And if you do that until you get to heaven, this body will be perfect. This body, our new body, will get rewarded that we can cast back at His feet. But it's all up to you. You do have a choice, but it's not your body. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We've seen a biblical viewpoint of my body, my choice. Let's all stand. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If the Lord spoke to you, the altar is open. Especially if you're here today and you do not know for 100% sure you're going to heaven, please come. Let me show you from the Bible how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. If you want to come pray about something, the Lord spoke to your heart about something. Obviously, there was a lot thrown out there this morning. My body, my choice.